come all. Everybody's welcome, can come big or small. Everyone can have freedom.
I could step to the drum, dear God, could you come free? Check and check one, diddy diddy dum dum. Wicked hum, wicked sum of the matter.
Father God, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father, for this evening. Lord, thank you, Father, for this place, Father. Thank you, Lord, for life and for breath and for your truth, Lord. For your spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth, Lord. To your spirit we yield right now in Jesus' name. And Father, just as we would spend some time together, Lord, in your word, as we would spend some time together, Lord God, looking unto you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that you would just lead and guide us. Lord, we bind every demonic spirit, every hindrance, Lord God, every work of the enemy. And in Jesus' name we cast it out. Father, we ask and pray, Lord God, for the full release, Lord, of your plan and purpose in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we pray, Father God, that your will would be done, Lord, your kingdom would come. And Father, we just hold nothing in our hearts against anyone, but Lord, we look to you for your direction, your peace, Lord God, your plan and purpose. We love you, Father. We trust you, Lord. And I just acknowledge openly, Father, continually, that it's only your spirit in me that's good. And to your spirit, Lord God, I yield. Lord, and we pray that every word that comes forward would be the word of your spirit, Lord God, for your people at this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. What? Yeah. Throw it. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay. We started a series, and we're actually now in part 4. And the series that we started was called Freedom. And ultimately, in this life, you have two kinds of people walking around. You have those that are in connection with the Spirit of God and are walking towards Him. And there are those that are on a path that they're walking towards the world and self, and serving and feeding that desire, that ambition, that care, that lust, that whatever. But people are ultimately on one of those two tracks. And so along those lines too, there's those that are free and there are those that are bound. And that's really pretty much what's going on the face of the world. So when people see governments, when they see wars, when they see companies doing their businesses, when they see all these religious groups working and functioning, when they see different entertainers, etc., etc., all of those things, whatever it may be that's in the world, in the end, really, if you can cut to the heart of the matter, of what's going on below the surface, below the natural reality that people see with their eyes, touch with their hands, smell, hear, whatever. If you can see on a spiritual level, there's really one of two tracks that things are on. And there's either those that are on a path of freedom, a life, truth, on that way with Christ, or there are those that are on a spiritual path that is leading to more and more bondage, ultimately destruction. Destruction of their own souls and destructions of others as well. So, when Paul writes this letter to the Galatians, he's writing a letter to a group of people that had started out in freedom, started out walking right with Christ. And then as soon as somebody sees you free, whenever this happens in the world, whenever they see a free one, period, part of the world system's instruction is to catch that person, is to bind that person, is to try to enslave that person, is to try to indoctrinate them into the world system. Whatever it is that they can do, that's what they work to do. Now, there's one requirement with both kingdoms, be it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world, is the requirement to honor your free will. Because you're made in the image and likeness of God, you have the ability and the free will capacity to make a choice. Now, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. So you can choose to do anything you want. Go ahead and have at it. But the consequences, you can't pick. And so that's why when God encourages people, just even like, you know, he did in Joshua 24, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. The encouragement is to choose life. The encouragement is to, with your free will, pick and choose to walk with the Father and walk with the Creator, to do that which is right in his sight. And for that to be something that you do from within, from the true you, and not something that you do as an external action to win the approval of men from a corrupt heart. Because see, ultimately too, what's going on is that which is within is what's real. And that which is without is the illusionary surface reality. So, when God sets us free, also like, you know, we've talked about before, Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21, the kingdom is within. And Jesus, you know, very clearly stated that, look, you know, in fact, it's, I mean, I have to keep hitting home these scriptures just because they are essential. Keep your finger in Galatians, but Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 says, and when they were demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, so the kingdom of God is within you. So the freedom that God gives also is a freedom that comes within. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. And also he came to set the captives free. So the freedom that we get is an internal freedom that comes from the connection that we have with the King of Kings. Now, if you can move in that, and the way that we move in that is not based on our effort, but by yielding your will to His and asking Him for that gift and basically surrendering yourself to whatever God shows you. But if you, and it's basically surrendering to His Lordship, but if you can yield to that, you experience then what it is that He intended, regardless of your external state. See, there's a lot of people that are stuck in different circumstances and situations. You know, they may be in a family situation where, you know, they have a family and they're married to a person that doesn't necessarily love God and doesn't want to love God. And they may have kids and responsibilities or whatnot. Or there's people that are stuck in certain, like, material situations. Or they may be enslaved someplace. You know, whatever your situation is, the kingdom is within. So when somebody comes into connection with the Father, that internal freedom that He does inside the heart of a person, all of a sudden everything changes. And you change within. And then regardless of your external circumstance and situation, the battle is won within. Now we get the opportunity to yield to that, but it's something that he does. And it's something that we just have to accept. It's not based on our own power. But now when Paul's writing in Galatians, one thing that he's saying is, see, people made a free will decision to yield to the call of God when God called them. But then they were making now a free will decision to get enslaved into another form of bondage, which is another form of trickery, where people took that freedom that they had in Christ and now tried to use that to get them wrapped up into some form of religious bondage. So they wanted to take them from one extreme into another, from one form of slavery into another. And see, that's something the world does too, is the world will repackage its slavery to see if it can get you to buy it again. So the first time that you bought it, and the first time you were tricked, then you get out of that, and then it tries to bring you back the same thing again, only in a different form, but it's the same spirit behind it. So that's why a lot of people, for example, will they will maybe come out of an illicit lifestyle and start walking with Christ, only then to be enslaved in a church system that is at enmity with God, based on a man-made hierarchy, people that are approved of by men and systems, people's commitment to ritual rather than to real relationship with the Father, people telling each other that they're alright and they can be part of and slaves to the world system and not follow God, just as long as they pay their tithes and are approved of by the man-made leadership of this place. You see what I'm saying? So it's like it's the same thing all over again. It's the same manifestation of the world all over again, which is, look, be part of the collective, and if the collective tells you that you're okay, you're okay. Only this time it's got a religious label on it. And usually one thing that you see in those situations is there's all kinds of perversion buried under the surface. And then they use that coupled with guilt and shame for what people do and blackmail and then getting people all just tied up in all kinds of knots where, you know, okay, don't do this, do this, you can't be seen here, you can't go there, you can go here, you can do this. These are your approved of friends, these are your non-approved of people, this is your you should be here on Wednesdays, you should be here on Sundays. If you miss a meeting, then we're gonna, you know, all your backslide. You see what I'm saying? Like, says who? The only person that you have to yield to, the only person that you need to walk with clean, is the Father. Because He's gonna lead and guide each person, and He's gonna lead them differently. They're still be on the path of truth, but it's a path of truth that He reveals within each and every one of them. So just like John the Baptist came a certain way, Jesus came a certain way. And Jesus came very differently than John the Baptist. Same spirit, same freedom that they had walking with the Father, same core, but very different natural manifestations of the same thing. And that's why too, I think God will, I've seen Him do it plenty of times, where He raises up people in all kinds of different places, because He uses them in those different places just to show, look, I've got all kinds, and you don't have to bow your knee to, you know, anything. You don't have to bow your knee to anything but Me. But basically, just get on track with Me and I'll show you who you are supposed to be. See, also the world, part of the bondages is that people are sold a false bill of goods, and they think that if they obtain a certain position in the world, obtain a certain status in the world, obtain a certain job, a certain title, a certain notoriety, a certain recognition in society, that then will be, they will have arrived. A certain level of cash in the bank. They believe that they will have arrived. If they can find the right partner. If they can, you see what I'm saying? All these different things, they think that if they can just get those X, Y, or Z, that now that will be freedom. That will be a releasing of their soul. And it's not. It's just one more form of bondage and control. One more thing to be maintained. Because the big one is not answered. The big one is that your heart is in step with the Spirit of God, that your heart is open by Him. And it's something that He does, but we make a free will choice to yield to that or not. So, when that's happened, when a person's begun down that track, then as soon as they've started, the world sets out their entire program to hunt that person. And, you know, we talked about, you know, different things that they try to do where, you know, if they can't take your soul to hell by your free will and rejection of Christ, then to get you out of alignment, you know, to just keep things coming at you and or to see if they can kill you off or to do something just to get rid of you. And if they can't do any of those things, then just to ostracize you, keep you away from any access or opportunity to leave you in the wilderness, but just then just to push you away. But whatever it is, it runs a game on those that are free. Now, this is where it requires some wisdom for those that are Christ, because you have to realize that this game is being run. You have to realize this game will be run for your entire life. If you're going to walk with Christ, this game is going to be run for your entire life while you're here in this world. So it's worthwhile getting wisdom, getting understanding, asking God for it, so that when the game is approaching you, that you don't get played. So, for example, when people come up to you and they want to gang stalk you, they want to get involved in your life, they want to, you know, become part of your life for a purpose of, not because they love Christ and they want to encourage you in that walk and that relationship, but because they want to, they're part of the world system and they have a spiritual assignment to take away from that which you're on and that which you have committed yourself to. So you don't have to let them in. You don't have to let them in. You don't have to let them become part of your life. You can just very politely say, nope, no thank you, and walk away. Now, sometimes God will quicken you because maybe He has a word for you to give to that person. Because, you know, there are those that are on that side that belong to Him, that they just need to be woken up, and He's waking them up, and He's drawing them, and He's pulling them out. So we have to be available to speak that word when the opportunity comes. That said, you know, we do that as led by the Spirit of God and not on a program. So, now, one thing that we talked about too was that God gives us the power, just like in Acts 1:8, to put to death anything that's in us that keeps us from being the witness that God intends us to be. So we have received power because of the Holy Spirit that's come upon us. When a person asks for the gift of the Holy Spirit, He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. You receive power from Him. When you receive that power, part of the purpose of that power is it's an enabling to put to death in your life that which it is that God shows you He doesn't want to be there. So you have the power to make a decision. In the best interest of what God's kingdom is being revealed in you, you have the power to be able to do that. See, the world people of the world, they have a type of power, but it's a limited power, yeah, for sure. In that they see the world is craving power; they really want it. In fact, you know, so many people's pursuits of cash is in a way a pursuit of power, because they believe that if they have that, they can use that then to buy or to get whatever it is that they think that they want. But it's a limited power. Just like there's a limited amount in their bank, even the richest men in the world have a limited amount. There's only so much they can do with that. Though they seem like they're limited. They can't go much further than. Whereas God's power is unlimited. And even the richest man in the world, you can't stave off death. You know, you think, oh, okay, life extension technology. Okay, even if they have life extension technology that they can apply to their situation, they're still getting older all the time. And they're still then going to try to swap parts out like a car in this depleting, deteriorating body. And what they have to do to get those parts and the lives they have to hurt, all of that is being compounded onto their soul, ultimately hatching them into a really horrible eternity. Because everybody dies. Everybody passes from this life into the next. So they get just enough cash to destroy themselves. They get just enough cash to thoroughly destroy themselves for all eternity, because they use it out of a place of disconnect from God. So when you have resource and it's not being led by the Spirit of God for what you do with it and how you use it, ultimately that resource will be a source of your own destruction, because you use it towards selfish ends and furthering your place in the world and the world system, which ultimately just serves to destroy you. So it's very, very lucky for people if they have little to work with, because they can do less damage to themselves if they're off track. So whatever situation and state you're in, you just thank God for that, because the main thing is that within, things are resolved. You're at peace within. You're at peace with your Creator. You're at peace with your Maker. You're walking with Him, and as you're walking with Him, He's showing and revealing to you. Then if you have or if you don't have, it doesn't matter, because He promised to take care of your needs if you sought first the kingdom. So that said, that being a given, you can just trust that. But if you don't have that connection, and you are seeking after that which is in the world, it's to a person's own destruction. So, okay. Now, internal alignment. Okay, here, go Romans chapter 1. I'm going to do a little reading. Romans chapter 1. The Romans. Okay. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles, among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome, preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changing the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, maligning, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay. Verse chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, that and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, be but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness that their thoughts and mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest others, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, doeth thou commit adultery. And thou that abhorrest idols, doeth thou commit sacrilege. Thou that maketh thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonoreth thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keepest the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision be, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doeth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Okay, so internal alignment based on free will decision. Now, when, I mean, this, these two chapters in Romans, they go through a ton. But you see where, okay, the kingdom of God is within. You see when you start reading through chapter 1, when he starts getting into it, after he, you know, kind of goes through the pleasantries like you would in a regular letter, and he gets into what it is that he wants to start off with. How, when there are people that, when they chose to within, reject the Creator, reject God's, what he had revealed to them. See, even like in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God has revealed enough of himself in the natural world for people to realize, okay, there's something greater going on here than what I see with my eyes. There's a spiritual dimension going on. But rather than bowing their knee and seeking the one that created the whole thing, they reject that. They reject the God that even made the whole thing, that made them. And then they turn to a love for the world and the world system and a love of self. And now when a person turns to a love of self, a love of flesh, a love of the world system, all of that, they begin down a path of their own bondage and their own destruction. And outside of the grace of God saving somebody out of that, and somebody yielding their free will to be pulled out of that, the person just goes from one to the next, to the next, to the next, worse and worse and worse. So even here, he just starts describing what happens. And it's like the depravity that takes place even in the way that they relate to God, creation. They start worshiping not even like created things, but even past that, like images made to look like a created thing. So it's like, okay, it's retarded enough to worship a frog, but to make a statue of a frog and then to worship the statue of the frog is like, I mean, it's like, have you stopped and thought about this? I mean, just on a logical level. But, and then, you know, but it starts bridging over into every aspect of their being, because it gets twisted. Sexuality gets twisted. It becomes libertine. It becomes anything goes. And then because there's a misalignment too of a person in different aspects of who they are in their minds, in their bodies, in all of that, it starts affecting then too how they relate to everything else. And now the thing to ask in all of this is, okay, stop and say, all right, with all of that, with all of the idol worship, with all of the sexual escapades, substance abuse, all of those things, you know, what has been the result? You know, what has been the result in your mind, in your thoughts, in your physical body, in your relationships, in your, you know, and has it been positive? Has it been healthy? Has it been, is it a path that you would want for your own child? Is it a path that you would want for other people that you care about? And so it's like, you know, if people just stop and ask those questions. It's like, you know, they say, oh, okay, if I had a family, would I want them to be doing the same things that, and it's like, no. Unless their consciences have been so seared that they can't even think straight like that anymore. Because there are legitimate children of the devil that would love to initiate and indoctrinate people into as much depravity as possible right away. Those are usually the ones with very high ranks in the world system. Those are usually the ones with a lot of toys in the world system. Those are usually the ones that get that place. But otherwise, it's like for people that still have some semblance of conscience intact, they wouldn't want for others the same thing that they've chosen for themselves, unless they've gone past the point of their consciences working and then wanting misery loves company. Let me take everybody to hell with me, and let's just have one big shindig on the way down. Now, here's the thing: when people, okay. One obstacle that we have that comes with part of being born into this life is you're born into a natural body. So, like we've talked about this before, like if you go to the moon, you need a moon suit to be on the moon. So if you want to be on the moon, you want to walk around on the moon, you want to function in that place, you need a specific suit designed to allow you to exist in that environment. Likewise, you already have an earth suit, which is your physical body. So your physical body is your earth suit. It allows you to exist on the earth. It allows you to be here. It allows you to function in this reality. As soon as your earth suit expires, you then leave this paradigm and go on from this dimension into the ultimate real dimension, which is the dimension of spirit. Because that which is invisible, the dimension of spirit, is what's real. So every person that's been here before, because how many people have that we've known, you know, people I've known that I've loved and cared about, have left this world and gone on. And where did they go? They were here, now they're not here. We were having a conversation 5 years ago, and now all of a sudden that person, that personality, that distinct individual is not here anymore. Their body, because what happened? Their earth suit expired, and they had to check out. They had to leave this dimension because they couldn't exist in this place anymore without the suit necessary to stay here. So that is your physical body. But while you're here, here's something about the body. The body that we have because of the fall. So man and mankind, with the fall and with what took place with the garden you and I are the flesh body that you're born into is you're born into corrupted flesh, basically. You're born into a physical body that is hardwired to something. It's hardwired to pull you a certain direction towards the world, towards self, towards selfish indulgence, towards that which is at enmity with God. So your body itself has a certain pull. It's there. It's part of. So for us, one thing that's necessary is you have to bring your physical body under the subjection and the lordship of Jesus Christ. But also, just like that, you have to always keep an eye on it, because left to its own devices, it will go another way. Yeah, it's. And so that's why too, it's like when And we'll get to the scripture in a little bit, but you beat your body, you make it your slave. It's not a, you know, it's not a sadistic thing, but what it is basically you do what's necessary to bring your physical body under subjection to your spirit, which is alive in Christ, and your soul, your mind, which has been being renewed, being transformed. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You're making your body subject to the mind of Christ that God is putting in you. So as He puts that mind in you, and as He's revealing things to you, by the free will decision you have, yielding to the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit of God that now flows in and through you, you are able then to make a free will choice to then subject your body to whatever the Spirit of God is showing you, and out of that subjection to make a choice so that your body doesn't become a hindrance to you while you're here. But you can make it an asset, even though the physical body does weigh down the spirit and the soul. It is a bit of a weight. It is a bit of a heavy thing, because it locks us into, on one level, a very base reality. You know, I mean, this reality that we're in here right now in this life, this is a very, it's not a very sophisticated dimension. Yeah, it's not. And so while we're in this body, it's heavy. You know, like even for us, like when you're walking with Christ, you desire to be in that eternal state that God made you to be. You want to be consummated with the Spirit of God. You would like to, you don't want that. You know, the struggle that you have even within, where it's just like, you know, you've got that thing going on. Whatever that is, you know, that's part of the it's part of what you will have to master while you're here in this life. So we strive for mastery of our physical body, for sure. But you realize that your body in itself is hardwired to be lazy. It's hardwired to gravitate towards gratifying the flesh. And the world will do something and it will respond, you know, to that. Now, you also will, in your physical body as well, you also will respond to the Spirit of God as well. But there, for that to, for you to experience the fullness of what God intends with that, your body needs to be given over to Him. It needs to be consecrated unto Him. Because the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, because He's the Holy Spirit, He wants to dwell in a vessel that's holy. So we make a free will decision to, when He reveals anything and everything to us, we make a free will decision to walk in holiness, to yield to what it, so He shows you something. When He shows it to you, not because it's about any kind of rules, but it's about a connection with Him, because you want to experience the fullness of the abundant life that He intends for you. So it's like, okay, let me give up this vice, and in giving up whatever it is that He shows you, and because He's given you the power by His Spirit to be able to do that, when you do that, the transition is, wow, now you can experience this that the Father wanted to show you. So He intends for us to have a free flow connection. He intends for us to know that. But we have a certain part to play in this, which is when He speaks, we obey. When He reveals, we yield and move forward with whatever it is that He shows. So, okay, but realize you will have a challenge in your flesh. and to make adjustments accordingly. Because the flesh will talk to you. And the flesh will talk to you. The flesh will say, hey, I'm hungry. Or, oh, that feels good. Or, go down the list of whatever. The flesh will talk to you. You can stroke the flesh. The flesh will say, ooh, I like that. Because why? Because the flesh has a mind. And so we make a free will decision to basically, with the flesh, say, look, flesh, you're not the boss here. What is the boss and what I choose to yield to is what the Spirit of God. And as He quickens me, I make a decision with the mind that I have that's in me through Christ Jesus to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put those things to death, so that I can experience the fullness that God intends. See, people of the world can't experience they can't experience what it is that God intends for them. I was having a talk with a good friend earlier today, and he was just talking about even certain people that he knew that were involved in a lot of corrupt business dealings. The thing is, people like that, okay, they may have a certain kind of craftiness in the world, a certain kind of craftiness in how to work the system, but they will never be able to truly create anything, because creation flows from a higher octave. See, God is creation. God is all creation, comes from Him. All ability to create comes from Him. So in order for true creation of anything to come, it has to come from a higher octave, a higher dimension. What the world can do is it can repackage, it can regurgitate, it can take something and remake the same old hamburger over and over again, but it can't create anything new. So people like that, even that my friend was talking to me about earlier today, they will never be able to create. God gives the power to create. He gives the power to create to His people. That's one thing too that also is a source of our sustaining, is a source of our being able to just flow. Because it's like when you walk with Christ, you just have this ongoing ability to be able to create. Whereas the world is functioning in a zero-sum game. A zero-sum game is like if there's only, four marbles on the board, and whoever has the four marbles, that's all that there is to go around. And so people are wrestling over seeing who can get what. And no, that's not the way that it works with Him. With His people, He's limitless. So we can just continue to create, continue to flow, continue just to walk with Him. He gives ideas, ability, power, strength. It all flows from Him, but it's on a higher dimension. And so if somebody chooses a base reality, well, okay, you've just now limited yourself to, if you have anything coming to you whatsoever, it's coming from some demonic presence that's just using you like a puppet. And you're not creating anything, you're just regurgitating what's already there. And if any creation comes forward, it comes forward from God's people. So, but for us, we seek internal alignment, and that's based on a free will decision. So for us, when in chapter 2, as Paul keeps going and he talks about, here's this issue about circumcision, uncircumcision, again going to the thing with Galatians, when he's going through this as well, he's like, look, it's not about the external thing. And then he just breaks it down and says, these people that they may not have the ritual part of it, but within their hearts they are following the leading of the Spirit of God. So that's the key. That's the most important thing. People that have the external mark, but within are not, doesn't work. Those people are, they've missed the main part, which is the kingdom is within. So for us, we seek internal alignment with the Spirit of God. So what happens is when we bow our knee to pray, when we are asking, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, like Matthew 6. When we pray that, we're seeking to align our flesh, our spirit, our soul, our entire element of who we are with Him. We're seeking to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. To love our neighbor as ourselves. We're seeking to be in that step with Him so that out of that place and out of that connection, then we can walk out the life that God intended while we're here in the earth. So, in the middle of this, okay, we already discussed a little bit about the difficulty that we'll have with the flesh, but also how we deal with that. You also have a spiritual war going on. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let's put there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on, so notice it's not your power, but it's His, it's He's the one that gives you the power to put to death that which is whatever. And Acts 1:8. Okay, but verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, so, and we can go on into the whole armor of God that we're supposed to take up. But, actually, yeah, let's just read the rest. For wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so the encouragement that's given to, well, alright, past the encouragement. The reality is that you are in a battle, and your battle is not against flesh and blood. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. You have to deal with your flesh, and you're going to have to deal with things on a natural level. But what we wrestle with is on the invisible yet the eternal reality level, which is that which is the realm of spirit. And in the realm of spirit, in this place that we're existing right now, you have principalities, you have powers, you have rulers of the darkness of this world, and you have spiritual wickedness in high places. You've got all these things that are here, functioning, attacking, working their plans and their schemes and all, and that God allows. See, God allows for these things to exist. He allows for this experience because part of this also is the redemptive plan that He's working out with us. See, we have to be tested. We have to be shaped. We have to be refined. We have to be made the bride of Christ. We have to be made into that and prepared for that. And so when what he's doing even here, see, okay, if a person chooses to yield to the world system, they do so to their own hurt, to their own destruction. They're given the chance to run around the track and to have their party for a day. And then after that, okay, now get in line, get inside the pyramid, take your place in the hierarchy, enslave others, you yourself be enslaved, and then die on cue, next generation shows up, and these things will use that person completely. Or if a person says, no, I refuse to bow to the world system, just like Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So you refuse to bow to the world, and you refuse to only serve the Lord your God, and only walk with the Father. Only, you have only one King, which is Christ Jesus. And when you refuse that, then what happens is that this whole system, this whole demonic hierarchy, now has an assignment to come after you. And it does what it does to come after the people of God. Now, God uses them to... when we come through the attacks that come our way from them, when we come through the fight, we grow stronger. We are shaped and fashioned into what it is that He intends for us to be. So, you know, you don't... like, for example, exercise. You need resistance. If you didn't have, like, for example, astronauts that go into outer space, one of the biggest problems that they have is because they live in a resistanceless environment, they atrophy. And so even like some of the best astronauts in the world, if they're out there for too long, their bodies just deteriorate because of a lack of resistance. That's why when they're up there, they're running and they're doing all those things. It's just to keep themselves from completely deteriorating. And even when they come back to the Earth and they get back to gravity, even the best of them have deteriorated to a degree. So you don't want to be weightless for too long. You need a certain amount of resistance for your own health. But likewise, even when you're exercising, when you exercise, you use resistance because the resistance makes you stronger. So likewise, when we wrestle, I used to wrestle, and back in the States when I was younger, it is one of the toughest sports you can ever do. I mean, like when you do like a 3 minute, you get in Greco-Roman, you get like 3 minute rounds with 1 minute rest. And so it's literally, you know, so you've got 3 minutes, 1 minute off, and you're not even a minute off, like, but it's just like the changeover between periods. It is the most exhausting thing. That nine minutes, if you make it through that match, or if you don't pin your opponent and it stops early, it is so tiring. Because when you wrestle, every aspect of your being is like engaged in this clash with another person, and you cannot condition for wrestling without wrestling. I mean, like when you train for wrestling, yeah, you jump rope and you run and you do sprints and you do all these other things that you do, and you do some weights or whatever. But the number one training that you have to do if you're going to be a wrestler is to wrestle and is to practice, and basically you just engage in an all-out wrestling match. You run drills, and over time you develop a skill to be able to actually compete when you have to face your opponent in the real thing. And the better the people that are that you trained with, the better you are. So if you wrestle with a bad wrestler, if you practice with the weak wrestler, you may be great in practice, but you will get killed in your competition. Whereas if you wrestle with a good wrestler, if you wrestle with somebody my coach, when I was wrestling, you know, as a young, he was sixth in the Olympics. So, and he was about my size. So, and then, you know, my other training partner, who's also a city champion, he was also one weight class heavier than me. So I was training like with, you know, my training partner was a little bit bigger than me, which is great, because then I had to work harder, and if I was in a match, I'd be wrestling against a guy that was a little bit lighter and a little bit weaker than the guy I'm used to wrestling with all the time. And then my coach was somebody that, you know, was, I mean, he'd wrestle with me all the time and was just like world class. So the byproduct of it was, when I actually had to compete, you know, I had been wrestling against people that were, you know, top notch. So I was ready for whoever came at me when I was actually in the match, in the race, or in whatever competition that I had to face. So, so you don't want to practice with weak. The stronger your opponent is in practice, the better you are for when the real trial comes, which is your actual test. So incidentally, thank God, ended up winning, you know, just undefeated through the season, because you were training with the best. So like, same thing like this, when you are, God allows for us to be tested. He allows for this thing, and actually, the greater the test, the greater the adversity, if you come through it and you don't give up, you never bow to the world, but if you come through it and you hold on to Him, you hold on to Him throughout the whole thing, you're like, Lord, just, you know, strengthen me, take me through, show me what I need to do, quicken me, give me knowledge and understanding. Because that's another thing too, when you're wrestling, you're developing skills. And you want to learn the right way. That's why you have a coach. A coach will show you, don't do it like this, do it like this. And then once you do it the right way, he'll drill it into you. So you keep doing it the right way until it becomes second nature. So likewise, we're developing skills. When you are fighting with the enemy and you go through it a few times, after a while, you learn how to deal with him. You learn how to dispatch him. You learn how to go up against certain obstacles. That's why it's good to be walking on this thing. It's good to develop some skills, some spiritual skills. You have to be able to war. So then occasionally, you know, somebody would come out for wrestling that had never wrestled before, and they might be like some big person, but they would just get killed so fast because they weren't ready for that kind of a competition. So it takes training, it takes discipline, it takes commitment, and God allows for it because too, what He's doing is He's preparing us to be that eternal. He wants us to, we're being conditioned and groomed in this life to come into the eternal state that He intends for us to be. So the challenges that we face, the difficulties that we face, all of that stuff is for purpose. Romans 8:28, when you go back to that one, Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So that means that you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That means that that battle that you have and all the difficulty that you face as a result of that battle, that God is working that together for the good. Because you are part of, it is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's you. That's me. So we can trust in that. We can trust in God's promise in that. But we're in that. Now, and see, here's the irony too, is that that also is part of the path of freedom. The resistance that you face from the world and the world system as you're walking this thing out with Christ is part of what comes and what must come on this path of freedom that you've chosen with Him. And God will use all of that to work out His plan of abundant life for you. Because in that part also, the adventure that you have, the experience of life that you have, the highs, the lows, You know, we should never be afraid of the lows. You really shouldn't, because part of the lows allow you to really appreciate the highs. You have to, if you didn't know what it was to be through and to experience pain and loss and all of those things, then when you experience joy and restoration and peace, you know how much more it is. You know, when Jesus, when he was at the at a banquet at a man's home, and there was the woman that came in that everybody was like, oh, this is a sinful woman, and she came in and she was crying and washing his feet with her tears, and she broke the perfume and all of that. And Jesus said, look, you know, this to the other guy who was like judging this whole situation. He said, look, when I showed up in your house, you didn't even give me any water to wash my feet. This woman shows up and she's been washing my feet with her tears, wiping it with her hair. And she's, you know, you didn't give me any oil, but she's put perfume on my feet. And basically the point being, you know, to whom, you know, if when somebody is forgiven little, they love little. When somebody's forgiven much, they love much. And so that this woman, the experience that she had in the restoration and the love of God that had healed her from all this stuff that she had been through from before, and experiencing that, the heart and the overflow was like she just wanted to give the very best that she had, and even all of her brokenness, all of it, anything, you know, because out of that love for him. Whereas this other guy who thought he was something, you know, he just was like, you know, let me invite Jesus over to my house, not even give him water for his feet to show him what I think of him. You know, because that really, you know, was he broke with even what normal hospitality would be. And normal hospitality would be to give your guest water to wash their feet. And he broke with that just to show Jesus, hey, you're not important enough even for me to do that. And this woman, though, she showed up and just loved him. So God causes all things to work together for it. So for us, see, part of this path of freedom that you have to reconcile yourself to is that it is the path of most resistance. And people look for the path of least resistance in the world. They love pleasure, they want to avoid pain, and whereas what God shows is, look, I'm going to lead you in the path of most resistance, in the path where all the odds are stacked against you, and yet I will carry you through, I will take you through, I will always show up right when you need me to, not when you think I should, because that's always different. You always think I should show up a week sooner than I actually really need to. I will show up when I need to, but it'll be on my time. He shows up right when, in the moment that he needs to, and in that process too, the trust is continually built, more and more built, because we realize he comes through. So for Abraham, it's Abraham on the mountain with Isaac, with the knife in hand, about to cut open his son to make him a burnt offering, and right then and there, after he's done everything, haul the wood up to the top of the mountain, getting ready, everything's prepared, ready to carry through with this whole thing after waiting 13 years for this promised son. 86 people started talking, and now he's 99, ready to kill him, and just at that last second God shows up and says, alright, nope, you know, just need to check, just need to check something, just wanted to know, will you withhold anything from me? And I wanted you to know for yourself too. See, part of what we go through as well is for us to know. See, we need to know something in all of this. See, God already knows the heart, but he wants you to know. He wants you to know where you're at. He wants you to know your own heart. He wants you to know what you would do in this situation. And then when we also realize our own limitations, we also realize our absolute dependence on him. And the only thing that we can do is seek to point and align our lives in the direction of heaven and Him. Because He's the one that's got to carry us through. He's the one that's got to strengthen us. He's the one that has to make the way. If He doesn't do it, we can't. So we realize our complete and total and utter dependence on Him. And gosh, where does the time go? Okay. Let me just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Boy, where did the time go this evening? Alright. Okay. I'm not going to go through everything here, but I'm going to give you this verse since I said I would get to this one. Alright. Verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway." Okay. So, sports analogy yet again, where it's like, alright, if you're going to run in a race, when people run in a race, they run to win. And you remember too, even like for yourself, when like you were training for a race and you'd use resistance, you know, the reason you used resistance was because it made you faster. So any time that you experience resistance, it will make you stronger. So when we run in the race that we're in right now, when we wrestle against all of the things that we fight against, it's because it's making us stronger. God is working all of this out. And it is the path of freedom. Though it doesn't seem like it in the natural, it is definitely that within the spirit. And so we have to trust God in that. We have to continue. Sometimes, you know what? You may not feel like you can go any further. Okay, just stop. Wait on Him for a little while. And just wait. You know, sometimes it's all you got to do is just wait. And, you know, you may not feel like you can go forward. Just refuse to go backward. Just stop. You don't have to fix anything at that time. And just wait and say, "Lord, what do I do right now? Just show me." And He will respond. Sometimes that in and of itself is just a deeper season of trust. So, but also, you know, this part two about making, you know, bringing your body under subjection. That's something we have to do. So, it's something that we do. It's something that God gives us the power to. But this is the path of most resistance. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. We'll stop with this. But Matthew chapter 7, actually verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the path of least resistance is the way of the world. The path of most resistance and the path that is less traveled is the path of life. It's the path of peace. It's the path of the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate. And those that come to the Father come through Him. And it's the way is within Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. And you're going to be in the minority, but praise God because you're part of it. And just thank Him for that, because He is leading us in the way of freedom. He came to set the captives free. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we are walking in that. And so with that, we'll stop there for tonight.